On this week's episode of the Wealth Collective podcast, we take a look at the new financial year and what you should be looking at. And we give our top five tips to set yourself up well for this new financial year. Enjoy.
Everything we talk about on today's podcast is general advice only because we don't know your individual personal situation. Before you act on anything we've spoken about, you should chat to your financial advisor, and if you don't have one, feel free to reach out to us. Now, on to today's show. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Wealth Collective podcast. It's Pete Pennicott here and I'm joined by my co-host as always, Zach Masters. How are you going?
Very good, Pete. How are you?
I'm feeling pretty good. We're out and about today in Melbourne CBD. It was exciting to see so many people out and about amongst the tumbleweeds.
Still pretty quiet, wasn't it? Here in Docklands, it's pretty much dead. It's a Friday here as we speak at the moment, and I don't think too many people are coming into the office on a Friday.
But I think the upside of that is like you can get to the bar to get a beer really quickly.
So that's
it. Think you got to sort of look at the
bright side.
Yeah, the silver lining of all this is no queues. You know, you're not fighting, elbowing through people to get there. So, but other than that, like, you been up to anything exciting? You been out exploring Melbourne's fine city?
No, I haven't been doing too much lately. I think everyone's a bit cautious at the moment. I think the COVID seems to be back and masks are back on public transport. I think everything seems to be a bit quiet at the moment, which isn't a bad thing after the craziness of the end of financial year and everything that seems to be happening, which will lead us on to today's episode a bit.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, well, yeah, it is a bit tough. Masks are back on, but I did manage to get to the Q Club. Shout out to them in Brunswick.
Yeah.
Not a sponsored post, but absolutely great smoked meats down there.
Well, there
I got to sample a few wines from Deeds Brewing. It was beers from Deeds Brewing.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, some local produce, all about that, very Melbourne. So, but you were saying, we're going to talk about planning for this financial year. So we're early into it, but it always sort of sneaks up on you at the end of the financial year. So we're always doing those end of, what are the tips to sort of last minute get in there? Well, I think the best way to do it is actually get started now or actually thinking about it now. So then it's not a rush. So those last minute tips, you can just tune out of that podcast and go out and sort of enjoy yourself.
That's it. And we've given you a couple of weeks to wind down after the end of financial year.
Well, all that excitement. It's taken me a while to come down from end of financial year festivities. So here we are. So first up, Zach, what do you got? We've got doing five tips today. So what's your number one?
So number one is to plan your super contributions early. So obviously, like, this is normally the last minute rush that as financial advisors or people you hear of, is that's the most common one, is that June 30 deadline to get your super contributions in. Especially this year with how slow some industry super funds or other super funds were to process contributions.
You going to name names? Or?
I won't name names.
If you want the blacklist, just SMS Zach and you'll give it to me.
I still want to be able to call them if I need to ask questions at certain times. I don't want to be blacklisted. You couldn't be putting your contributions in on the 27th, like maybe you have in previous years. Or you needed, for some funds, it was a two-week runway to get those contributions in, which some people are unaware of. They might think, if I send the transfer on June 30th, it'll be all right and get in.
I actually had a phone call from someone at 4:30 on June 30, believe it or not. Shout out to them. I hope they're listening. But we had a good chuckle about it. That there's no way that's going to make its way in there.
Yeah, so think about what type of contributions you want to make. So is it your concessional contributions for potentially younger people or people that haven't purchased a home? Are you wanting to make first home super saver scheme contributions? And the other thing at the moment is the market's at a bit of a drop, for the last 12 months.
I thought you were going to call the bottom.
I won't call the bottom, but it's at a bit of a discount. So are we wanting to start dollar cost averaging money into super now to take advantage of that? So instead of putting all of your contributions in one lump sum, do you want to just drip feed it into super as a monthly contribution and pretty much do a dollar cost averaging plan along with your superannuation guarantee for those that are employed alongside? And is that beneficial at the moment? Is that something that you see as a beneficial idea? Do you prefer lump sum towards the end of financial year?
It depends. So yeah, super's not for everyone. You got to take into account your time horizon. So it's preserved. There's reasons why it's so tax effective. So you can't just blindly throw money into super because you might not be able to get it out. you know, there's ways and means, you know, so make sure you chat to your advisor. But do you want to just run us through what are the caps for the listeners out there? So we've got concessional, so the ones we get a tax deduction on, and we've got the non-concessional, the after-tax contributions that no tax deduction. What can people squeeze in there?
Yep, so for concessional, we're looking at $27,500 for the financial year. Now, where it gets a little complicated is you've also got catch-up concessional contributions for some people that are able to use those. We've done plenty of episodes on that, but if you're a little bit confused with catch-up concessional, there's heaps of information on Google, or feel free to shoot Google. Us a message.
Just check out the Picardo website.
ATO website, Picardo website, gosh. It's everywhere. and then in terms of your non-concessional, it's $110,000 yeah. That you've got to put into there. So you've also got then bring forward rule, which we've spoken about before. Mm. It's not the most easy or straightforward super contributions in terms of for the listeners out there trying to get your head around it.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of good resources online and able to in terms of finding that. Mm. But those are the two main ones.
And I think with that $27,500 concessional, that's the, you know, that's probably the focus for people. If you're earning a reasonable income and you don't like how much tax you're paying, that's a good way to sort of set yourself up for the future and get a good tax deduction for it. Thing to note is obviously superannuation guarantee, so what your employer's paid has to pay you, has gone up this year. So if you had salary sacrifice arrangements, excuse me, got a frog in the throat, in place last year and you just hit the bang on the 27.5, it's not going to cut it. It's not going to be the same this year. So you do need to update that and adjust it. So make sure you speak to your payroll and get that sorted sooner rather than later. So then there's more time to adjust it, more pay periods. The other thing is for our older listeners out there, the work test has been removed for those 67 to age 74. So there's a whole host of people that haven't been able to contribute into super that now can. So super, that's a really good number one tip. I love it.
Yep, that's it. Number two, what have you got for us?
So for me, it's going to be the review the household budget. So I think unless you've been living under a rock or fortunately stranded on a beautiful deserted island with all our everything you need except for news, cost of living's gone through the roof. Like you go into the petrol pump, it's, you know, instead of the shock.
Well, I was excited to see level. 190 the other day.
Yeah, 200. Like, you know, you break, got a two in front of it.
Yeah, I saw a 190 and I quickly filled up. I got excited.
Yeah, so you, so that's pretty confronting. And then also you go into the, you're seeing it firsthand. You're going to buy groceries, you're ordering your takeout, or you're going out for a meal. All those sort of, the cost of living, that sort of has placed a big pressure on people's budgets. And then the other thing that's, we're saying as well, if you've got a mortgage and you've just seen your monthly payments, the minimum payments go up as well. So obviously it doesn't mean your back's to the wall and you need to cut things, but I think it's a good time to do a review. And also I think it's a useful time to do a review anyway, because you've got a full financial year. You've got a time period that you can actually see the ebbs and flows, the peaks and troughs. Because certain expenses don't happen monthly or weekly. Some of them are quarterly or annually, but you've captured everything in there. So you know what your insurances are, you know what your rates are, you know what all your sort of general living expenses are. And hopefully you've managed to sneak off for a holiday and you've got some lifestyle expenses in there. So I would review that. If you haven't got a physical budget done, I can't sort of express enough the importance of jotting it down somewhere, like actually putting either pen to paper or sort of, you know, fingers to a keyboard, and preferably do a digital one. So digital ones means you can keep going back and getting updated data. So you've got cash flow coming through and all that data coming through from your bank accounts and credit cards. There's nowhere to hide from it. You can't lie. You can't hide transactions.
Can't hide data.
Well, you can, but you have to physically actually go, yes, hide that transaction. So, yeah, that'd be one that I'd do. And, you know, if you're part of a couple, you know, organize a date night. You know, here's my permission. Go spend some money out of your cash flow and have a financial date night and do budgeting. So get it out there, pen and paper, take your iPad, whatever it takes to get it done, and just have that beautiful, special romantic dinner together, financial date night. Get
over a budget.
Yeah.
Very, very good. Cool. So in terms of number three. So number three I've got is to keep track of your deductions. So deductions are sometimes things that can get lost. And then once you come to do your tax return, for some people, they're kind of rushing around to go, oh, do I have the receipt for that? Do I have that? So start to keep track of this and plan your deductions well. So you know, have you started a new job and you need income protection? Are you going over the Medicare levy and potentially need to look at getting health insurance as well, or just especially with the work from home arrangements that a lot of people are in. Are you keeping track of what you're spending? Obviously, there's the shortcut method in terms of that particular deduction, but maybe you're better off looking at your bills and calculating it that way. So usually the way in which I use, I keep track of my deductions is through the ATO app. So I find that that's actually really quite good in terms of you can just take a photo of your receipts. It keeps everything in terms of your financial year. It's great for if you travel for work, so drive and can keep track of your kilometers. Is there other ways that you do this, Pete, in terms of keeping track of your deductions? Or
yeah, I do it. So mine are, well, it's just different. So I have a folder in my inbox. So most of my invoices come via email or receipts. And I've just got a folder called invoices and receipts. So basically I drag and drop them in there. And then sort of generally on a monthly or sort of quarterly basis, depends on sort of what I've got going on at the moment. I would then jump in and sort of drag them into my Dropbox folder. So I've got a Dropbox folder that's broken up by financial years and it's just in there. So because you'll forget that you did a $20, $50 donation or something small. 100%. That's money in your pocket. So it's like it's literally picking up notes. And Australian notes are hard to rip, but like ripping up notes. And we don't like to see that. We want to make sure the money goes back in your pocket and you're sort of getting as much bang for your buck as possible. So if you think it's deductible, save it and let your accountant be the one to help you decide whether it is or not later. Better to have that saved there. So that's one. And the other one is, again, those digital apps. You can actually tag the transactions as they come through.
Yeah.
Deductible. 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 Done. You get this beautiful report at the end. Here you go, Mr. or Mrs. Accountant. Yeah.
Here it is.
And you're done. And they should be giving you a discount because you're just basically
doing the job for.
Sorry to our accountant listeners out there.
Very good. What have we got for number four?
Number four would be review any debt you have. So I think interest rates are probably the thing they're definitely stinging at the moment. So they're on the way up. So I know a lot of people would have potentially had fixed loans, maybe interest-only loans that are coming to the end of their interest-only period. And anyone even on just a variable rate, you will notice that you've been getting communicated to on a monthly basis. Your rates are changing like clockwork, and it's probably going to keep happening as the months go by. With expectations that rates are going to continue to rise at least for the rest of the year, this is a time where you need to make sure you've got a really good and appropriate for fit, so good for you, lending package. So make sure you're sort of pressing your bank, or if you're not sure whether your bank's going to do the best thing for you, shop around, go to a broker, get some professional advice and actually get that structure, because the whole world's changed. Like, it's going to be really difficult for people to get really good rates on interest-only loans, if you can even get one. Lines of credit, the rates on those are going higher. So you may look and go, hey, is there a different way that I could do this? Could I potentially have a facility where I can park some money in an offset account and still have access to it, or something that has redraw? Every 10 basis points you save is money back in your pocket. So, and then potentially a review is not going to cost you anything as well. So there may be some small fees from a broker, but a lot of the time they might be just sort of getting paid via the bank by doing all the work and placing it there. So it might not cost you anything out of pocket.
Sometimes cashback offers and different things that different lenders are offering as well.
I saw a few of them, like it's thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
So if that, there you go, they'll pay for your financial date now. So now what do you got for number four?
That's it. Number five now.
Five. Oh, wow. There we go.
So this one's a little obscure. So when you're looking at your tax return, or you're looking at your last financial year, have a look at how much of that income comes from you working, or how much comes from passive investments. So in terms of your money working for you, if that is out of whack and a lot of your money comes from you working, then potentially look to start this year as the one where you start to get focused on investing. So a lot of people can often use their tax return. If you get a decent tax return or whatever tax return you get, you can kickstart an investment and start to look to grow that. So start to try and create as much of that different style of income, that income without you having to physically exert yourself or your brain or whatever it takes for you to work, and start to create more of that passive income. coming in your tax returns. So it's a little bit of a left field one, create more of a tax burden for yourself. But it's,
it doesn't necessarily need to be, depending on what your assessable, what your marginal tax rate is. You might get franking credits on Australian equities. Yep. So there's lots of ways to do that, but that sounds really good. Like, make money while you sleep.
That's it. What's the old one is you plus work equals money. Your money plus work equals more money. That's the one you want to be focused on.
Ding, we should have a sort of some sound effects in here. We need to increase the budget on this. Any last remarks from you?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I think it's like, the earlier you start to plan, the better off that you'll be. So as with anything, you can start to get into a rhythm. And even I was talking to someone today and they were like, yeah, I want to just start to dollar cost average into super, and it was appropriate for them. And they were looking at that. It's like, oh, I'm happy to get started now and drip feed funds in rather than wait until March, April, May next year. Is there anything else that you'd leave listeners with?
A couple of things that just got me thinking. Your last one, where you mentioned the tax return again, before you lodge your tax return, check that if you have got contributions you made last year and you were planning to claim a tax deduction on them,
notice of intent
to claim a tax deduction on, get it in, get it lodged, get it confirmed before you lodge your tax return. Otherwise you could miss out. There's no going back and fixing that up, I don't believe. So again, not a tax advisor, but make sure you check that. It's a trap for, unprepared people. So, and then probably the other one I'd say is another financial date night, probably a fortnight later. Give yourself some time to breathe after it.
Busy month.
Reset your goals. Like, just sit down and go, hey, what do we want to achieve? Or what do I want to achieve? So if it's, you can go out by yourself, you can have a sort of a meal for one. I would be doing that and going, hey, like, what's actually important to me? Because I think we're coming at the back of the pandemic. Life's probably changed. You've probably recalibrated what's actually important to you. So sort of your, like, why, your reason for living, and what sort of gets you out of bed in the morning. And why wouldn't you sort of go, hey, these are, and jot it down, these are the things I'd like to be doing both in the next 12 months, but also longer term as well, because that might recalibrate what your actions are for this year. And it's not all about money. So I think that'd probably be the one that sort of, as you were mentioning the investment piece and forward looking, yeah, I think that's really important to sort of, it's not just all about saving a buck or making a buck. Sometimes it's going, what's actually important to you as well?
Well, you do your New Year's resolutions at January 01, don't you? You should be setting some financial New Year's resolutions or personal New Year's resolutions.
Like, it actually, like, the years are just like
meld into.
Yeah, like every day is this, you can just do this anytime. But
yeah,
I think as human beings, we like that line in the sand. It's like, you know, I'm always going to get a gym membership every Monday. Like every Monday, I go, yeah, I'm doing it every weekend. I've got Monday, I'm going to start getting fit. So yeah, next Monday as well. I'll get that going. So we'll see how we go. But hopefully there's been something in there for everyone. And look, if you've got any other suggestions, got any ideas that we may have missed, like, we didn't try and cover everything. This, you know, we could have done this and done 21 tips, but yeah, we're giving you something short and punchy and something for the weekend. So hopefully you've enjoyed that. If you've got any questions, send them through. connect@picada.com.au, and otherwise, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Thanks.